Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the bottom. You'll notice a new Mishnah. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, where we've written Almona Shemochra Nechosim Shavim Yoiser Miksubasa, a widow who sells properties of her deceased husband, but valuing more than her ksuba. The Mishnah. Almona shoysa ksubasa masayim, umochra shove mona bimasayim. An almona whose ksuba was $200, and she sold property worth $100 bimasayim, and she got a very high price for it. She got twice its value. She got a full $200 for that. Oy, shove masayim, or she took some property that was actually worth $200 bimona. And she got a very poor price for it. She got only 100, only half the price. Niskabla ksubasa, she is considered as having been paid her ksuba. In other words, the sale goes through, and she is now out of the picture. Hoysa ksubasa mona. So let us say she had a ksuba worth 100. Umochra shove mona v'dinar b'mona. And she took property worth a mona and a dinar. In other words, she took property worth more than her ksuba and sold it for 100, which was the value of her ksuba. Michra botel. The sale is void. Afilu hi omeres achsir dinar liyorshim michra botel. Even if she offers to restore, to pay back the heirs, the dinar extra that she had sold, in other words, the dinar more than she was entitled to, she would return that to the yorshim. Nevertheless, the deal is off. That extra dinar worth of property she had no right to sell to begin with, so therefore the whole sale is off. She sold it in one shot. She sold too much, more than she was entitled to sell. Therefore, the whole deal is off. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer le'olam michra kayam. That kind of sale will stand. In other words, the buyer keeps the property that he bought, and she'll return the extra to the yorshim. She'll return the amount above and beyond which she was allowed to sell. She'll compensate. She'll restore that amount to the yorshim. Achite shom kidei shetishar besode bas tisha kabin. Until the extra amount that she sold, the amount above her ksuba, would have equaled a parcel of land. In other words, the amount would have been a parcel of land. The size was called 9 kavim. That's a measure, and for our purposes, just to be aware that that's a measure that when it comes to grain fields, that's we'll call it the minimum size of a piece of property that's worth owning on its own. Ubagina, if we were selling if she sold a garden, bas chatzikav, and if she had sold an amount extra that would have equaled to a chatzikav, a half kav measure. Uchadiv Rebbe Kiva, base rova. Rebbe Kiva has half the amount as being a significant amount. In other words, if the property she sold was a rova kav, a quarter of a kav of land, more than she was entitled to sell, then the deal would be off. Hoysuk subosa arba meyaz zuz. Umochro loze bemona ulaachron yofe mona vedino bemona. She had a ksuba worth 400 zuz. And she sold to four different people. The first three people she sold, we'll say a quarter of the land. Maybe for greater accuracy, just realized that her ksuba was worth 400 zuz, and she took a piece of land and sold it to four different people. The last person to whom she sold a little extra than she was allowed to sell. And then, as the Mishnah says, she sold an amount of land, yofe mona vidinar, for only one mona. The last sale is void, but all the other sales are binding. Now the Gemara. My shna, in the case of a ksuba that was worth 200 zuz, the Mishnah spoke about shove mosayim bimona. She sold a piece of property worth 200 and got only 100 for it. The Amri law, there we say, and the Mishnah said that she got, that's considered her receipt of the ksuba, and she's out of the picture. Ah, she got only 100 in cash. The Amri law, we say, at afsidit, you caused the loss. In other words, you simply did a bad deal. But you brought on your own loss. Well, why don't we adopt the same type of attitude, but in the opposite direction, in the case of Shove Mona B'Mosayim, where she sold a piece of property worth only 100 B'Mosayim, and she got a very good price, she got 200 for it, Nami Tema, why don't we don't say there also, Ano Arvachla, why can't she say, well, I profited, in other words, and I still have another 100 worth of property to sell. Because my ksuba is worth 200, and I sold only 100 worth of property. The fact that I got such a good deal that they paid me so much for it, that's my luck, so to speak, my own personal good luck. But as far as the ksuba is concerned, I still have the right to sell another 100 worth of property. And yet, the Mishnah doesn't say that. We answer, you'll notice we have a long answer marking. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kan Shona Rebbe. Based on this Mishnah, Rebbe taught Hakol Lebal Hamos. Very brief phrase. Rashi lo expounds. Rashi at the top, Hakol Lebal Hamos. Hashaleach Shlucha Leshuk Leschura. A man sends his agent to the market for commercial activity. Velokach bezol. He sent the agent with a certain amount of money, and he got a lot of merchandise. In other words, he was able to get the merchandise for real cheap. Hakol balamos. All of the, we'll say, the extra merchandise that the owner, the original owner, maybe didn't anticipate getting so much. Anyway, he is the sole owner of all of that merchandise. The lo motzi lemeimar, and the agent cannot say, "Ano arvachi." It was my doings. It's my profit. Same thing over here with regard to the lady who sold the property of her husband's estate. The fact that she got such a good price for it, it's not her doing. The results are not hers to keep. It all belongs to the Baal Hamos, the original owner. And in this case, it belongs to the estate. And hence, if she sold 100 worth of property and got 200 for it, she's considered as having received her full ksuba payment. And she has no more selling rights. And the Gemara now elaborates on this by citing two sources that seem contradictory, and the final picture will simply justify what we have said. Kidisanya. Hosifu lo achas yisera hakol shaliach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. An agent was sent, an emissary was sent to the store to buy a certain amount of produce, and the store owner threw another, an extra one on top. So whatever was thrown on top, whatever was thrown is extra, the Rabbi Yehuda says that belongs to the agent. The shliach keeps it. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Chokin. The Rabbi Yossi says that the shliach with the mishaleach, the agent and the one that sent him, split whatever extra was thrown on top. V'ha Tanya, but we have another source, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Abal Hamos. Rabbi Yossi says that all the profit goes to the original sender, the one who sent the money, the Baal Hamos, the owner of the money. So how do we resolve these two statements of Rabbi Yossi? On the one hand, he says that all the profit is to be split, and the second Rabbi Yossi statement says that all the profit goes to the original owner. Oma, Rami Bar Chama lo kasha. There's no inconsistency in Rabbi Yossi's. Kan bedover sheyesh lo kitzva, kan bedover sheein lo kitzva. It depends what kind of item was purchased. If it's a dover sheyesh lo kitzva, it's something that has a unit price to it, has a fixed, established unit price to it. So in that case, where extra was thrown on top, then the mishaleach and the shliach split the extra items. However, if it's dover she'en lo kitzva, that's something that doesn't have a fixed price, but rather it's an item that is sold by estimate. Sometimes the item is sold for a lot of money, sometimes it's sold for little money. In that case, we don't say that the extra is a mere gift, but rather it was part of the way that it was purchased. And in that case, Rav Yossi's klal of hakol lebal hamos applies. Just to review, in the case of dover sheyesh lo kitzva, something has a fixed amount, and the purchase price was paid, and extra was thrown on top, that extra that was thrown on top is viewed as a gift. To whom was the gift given? Maybe to the agent, maybe to the original owner. So they split. But where it's not something with a fixed price, and that you got, let's say, more than you thought you would get, that's all part of the basic sale. And as such, all of the extra in that case goes to the Baal Hamos, the original owner or the sender, the Meshaleach. Rashi gives an example. Dover she'ein lo kitzva kagon talis v'choluk. A talis is a type of garment, and a choluk also a different kind of garment. V'yerek, vegetation, hanim korim bo'imin. They're sold through estimate. Sometimes he'll sell that item for cheap, giving a discount, sometimes at an exact price. We say here, you don't have a gift, but rather it's part of the basic deal, the basic sale. We go back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, Hilchisa Dover Sheyesh Lo Kitzva. Something that has that's sold on a fixed per unit basis, chokin. And if there's any extra, so the balabayas and the shaliach will split. Dover she'ein lo kitzva hakol lebalamos. Something that doesn't have a fixed unit price, but sold by estimate, then all of the extra goes. It's all the profit. It goes to the owner of the money. My komash malon. What does Rav Papa tell us that we didn't know already? Answer, shinuya dishaninon, shinuya hu. What Rav Papa is telling us is that the resolution, the answer that we gave to resolve the two statements of Rav Yossi is a reliable answer. As we scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that we have a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. By the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So you can see on the side of the Gemara we have a diamond, and this is under our Nosei, the topic, Mivnet, structural note. The diamond represents Shtei Lishonos B'She'ela, two versions within the question, B'inyan Shliach Shenishlach Liknois Karka B'midas Shetach Misuyom V'Shino B'Shlichuso. An agent is sent to purchase a certain amount of ground, of land, and in the purchase, he purchases an amount different than that which he was sent to purchase. Now, we have the Gemara marked off, you can see we have Roman numeral number 1 over here, and we'll then present the introduction to what is dealt with. Roman numeral number 2 will appear almost halfway down, Tzadi Tes Omid Aleph. So Roman numeral number 1 reads on the side, Zovin Li Lischa, an original owner of money, an investor. He says to his agent, buy for me Lischa. Lischa is half a kur. A kur being a certain area measure. Lischa likewise, it's just half the size. The Azav is Zovin Le Kura. The double underlining that we see here is also seen in the Gemara highlighting these measures, the Lischa and the kur. The significance of this marking will be appreciated when we contrast question 1 with what we'll eventually see in Mirtz Hashem in question 2. But in question 1, how do we summarize this? Asa yoyser min amavukash. The agent did more than he was asked to do. Let's momentarily contrast this with the question number 2, Roman numeral number 2. If you have Tzadi Tes Omid Aleph readily available, so check it out. A little less than halfway down, the Gemara will have said that what we've said till now really isn't a question. Rather, what is worth asking about? The following case. And you see, if Roman numeral number 2, you see the double underlinings, Kura and then Lischa. It's the opposite of what we had here. He was sent to buy a kur, and the agent buys only half the amount that he was asked to buy. What is the din then? So we go back to our Gemara. Before we get to the triangles, let's take a look at the Gemara itself. Diamond, Roman numeral number 1. Ibai Elohol. Omar Le Zovin Li Lischa. An investor says to his agent, and now I made an error in translating something before. The agent was sent to sell a parcel of land. How big a parcel of land? Half a kur. The Ozav is Zovin Le Kura. And he went and sold a whole kur. My. How do we look at this? Moisif al Dvarovhu. Is he, the agent, simply adding to the basic instruction? V'lischa mi'okani, and the basic amount, the lischa, half the amount that was sold, that remains a sale. Oidil m'mavir al dvarovhu, or do we say that the shliach was a violator of the mission? And as a violator, the whole deal is off. Omar Rav Yankiv Me'apakoy Mishmei de Ravina Toshma. So here we have triangles, and if you skim ahead on the page, you'll notice the triangles appear in alternating directions. So on the side, we have the Toshma, where the triangles are featured in two directions. Hechachos l'kivunim hafuchim. These are attempts to prove from sources, but you'll see how the attempts are in opposite directions. So we're dealing with a shliach that was sent to sell karka for the balabayas, to act as an agent in selling karka, and he ends up selling twice the amount he was asked to sell. Toshma, Omar balabayas lishlucho. Now this Tanaic source is coming from the general topic of Me'ila. Me'ila is the prohibition of using for personal benefit items that are sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. And here you have a scenario of a house owner, a balabayas, a waiter, and guests. Food is going to be distributed in this particular story, and it's going to turn out later that the food that was distributed was sanctified food, something that could not be given to a person's guests. Omar balabayas l'shlucho. The homeowner said to his waiter, the shliach is his emissary, we'll call him his waiter, tain lohen chaticha l'orchin, give a piece to the guests. V'hu Omer Tlu Shtayim. And the emissary, the shaliach, the agent, he said to the guest, take two pieces. V'hein Notlu Shalosh. And they took three. Kulon Mualu. They are all said to be guilty of the prohibition of the sin of Mi'ilah. And as we said, after they all took it, it turned out that it was all hektish, it was all sanctified meat, and they were all guilty of Mi'ilah. If you say that the shliach, when asked to do a certain amount and he does more, that he is considered an emissary, he's considered an agent, he's considered an agent, and he's moisif al dvarav, meaning he's adding to the instructions. He's not considered a violator, but rather he's an adder to. Mishum hachi balabayas moal. Therefore, as the Tanaic source says, that the original owner of the food, the host, is in violation of Mi'ilah. Meaning that the shliach, the agent, did what he was supposed to do, and when you're in the realm of Mi'ilah, an agent that does what you were supposed to do, the action reflects back on the owner. So if you say that when asked to do X amount, and you end up doing 2X, you are acting within the realm of agency, but just doing more. So I understand, therefore, how it is that the balabayas is moyel, because the balabayas' instructions were carried out, and in the realm of Mi'ilah, when the shliach does what he was supposed to do, that reflects back on the original owner, just that he went beyond his original instructions. Elohim is mavir al dvarav hava. If, however, you say that the shliach, by doing more than he was asked to do, is in violation of its original instruction, balabayas amaymual. Why would the action of one reflect upon the other? Why would the balabayas be considered to be in violation of Mi'ilah? And yet, in the source said that the balabayas is moyal. The hotnan hashliach shalsa shlichuso balabayas moyal. An agent that carries out what he's supposed to do, then that action reflects back on the original sender, and the original sender is guilty of Mi'ilah. If the shaliach did not carry out his charge, then let me read that again. If he didn't do what he was supposed to do, shaliach mo'al, then the agent is guilty of Mi'ilah. So we see from this that when asked to do a certain amount and you do more, you're not in violation of the original charge. What you did was you fulfilled the original charge, just simply added to it. The Gemara rejects this. What it's talking about over here with the food distribution. The Omar Lahu, the agent said, Tlu achas midaito shel balabayas v'achas midati. He carried out his shlichus in a very, let's say, explicit fashion. He told the guests, take one piece because I am offering it to you, and take another piece because the balabayas is offering it to you. And they ended up taking three pieces. So by saying, take one piece, midaita shabalabayas, that is, in effect, the shaliach carrying out his shlichus. And it can be viewed, you can focus on that, as a separate entity of, a separate element of this case. But in a case where the shliach was asked to sell a certain amount of property and it sells more, that extra amount wasn't separated from the basic amount. So in such a case, we would say that he is mavir al dvarav. Toshma. And here we have an attempt to prove in the opposite direction. In other words, the goal of this proof is to show that the shliach is a mavir al dvarav. Tosh ma hoisok subasa mona, umachro shava mona vadinar bemona, mikra batel. A woman's ksuba was 100, and she sold a piece of property worth more than that, 100 and a dinar, for 100, the deal is off. My love, the zavin shava mona vadinar bemona vadinar. Is it not speaking about a case where she took a piece of property that was worth 100 and a dinar and sold it for 100 and a dinar? In other words, she got a fair price for it. There was a shinui that we have here insofar as she sold more than she was supposed to sell. But what she sold, it was at fair price. And yet it says here, mikra batel. As we set it up, it's a case where the shaliach sold a mona v'dinar and got a mona v'dinar. Umay b'mona, but in the source it said, the reading didn't say that. It said, mochra shava mona v'dinar b'mona. So what does the word b'mona mean? Mona shelah. He sold a piece of property worth a mona v'dinar as a means of paying the mona that she was expecting. Umay afilu. What does the expression of afilu mean in the source? Here we take a look at Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Umay afilu hi omeres. Pshita, is this not obvious? Dal kochach shel yesomim hu. We saw this in the Mishnah regarding this case of selling a mona v'dinar of ground when her ksuba was worth just one mona, and she sold it a mona v'dinar for a mona v'dinar, and the Mishnah said that the deal is off, even if she says, I will return the dinar to the Yorshim. So is that not obvious? As Rashi says, that she has to return the extra to the Yorshim. So the Gemara explains, afilu hi omeres achsur sadina liyorshim bedina mekarkoi, that she is willing to go and buy back from the lokeach a dinar worth of ground and return it to the yorshim, simply restoring the situation as if it hadn't been a problem to begin with. We still say the deal is off at katoni michra botel, and we say that the deal is canceled. What does that show us? What happened over here? She had received a charge of selling a mona's worth, and she ended up selling more than she was allowed to sell. And the result of that is mikra botel. That indicates that when doing more than you were charged to do with, that is called ma'avir al dvarav. That's a violation, not a violation of your original instruction, a violation of your license, not a simple addition to. You notice we have a new geometric form on the side of the Gemara. We have a mivneh, structural note. And we'll call this a ma'akap, because this volcano shape, as you scan ahead, you'll see it appears in varying directions, in alternating directions. So this inverted shape is a dechia. It's a rejection. We just tried to prove that the shliach who does more than he was charged with doing, he is a violator, and therefore the whole deal is off. And we're now going to challenge that. And then when the volcano straightens back up with the narrow part facing up, that represents kushya, a question. Simun zem yuad kidei livchon im hadechia yisher ad sof hamas umatan. We want to keep track of this give and take to see whether this rejection lasts till the end of the discussion. So we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara questions the assumption that was made in coming to this conclusion. Omar Rav Huna braid Rav Nosson lo. The assumption that you made, that she sold a mona and dinar worth of property and got for that of the full price, that's not what happened. Bida oizil, she sold a mona v'dinar worth of property and got only one mona for it. And that's the reason that the deal is off, because there is a mistake in the value itself. So a mistake in the actual sale, that's reason for calling it off. But if it's simply a shliach that acts beyond his charge, who says that that kind of deal would be called off? The Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Tes Omer Aleph. You just told us that this case of the Mishnah was a case of B'de'ozil. Ha, mi de'seifa B'de'ozil, have a resha B'de'lo'ozil. The Seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, features a case of a mistake in the price and the value. Ozil means undercharging. The resha, therefore, is not talking about a case of mistake in the price, and yet the deal is off. Again, proving that he is a mavir al dvarav when he does more than he was charged with. We have a bracketed section initially here for skipping, just to make the reading easier. And the Gemara says, "Lo, not like you said that since the seifa is oizel, the resha is not. Rather, resha v'seifa b'de oizel. Both the resha and the seifa case deal with of undercharging, mistaken amount of money that was paid." And if you ask, well, what do I need two cases for? So the seifa, how come Ashmalon? The seifa tells me, "Taima de oizel b'diasmi, avo b'dido michor kayam." We'll come back to this in a moment, because we did skip a section, and we have a note opposite the bracketed section in the margin. You see a starred note, a singular star, and it reads, "Sagraim elum yodim lahokel ala kriya." These brackets are here to make the reading easier, as we demonstrated with the skipping. Hakusha is staimot lifnei asagram. The basic question ends right before the brackets. Besoch asagram uvo haseifa. The Gemara at the top line made reference to the seifa as being a case of oizo. So within the brackets, the Gemara quotes the seifa. You can see that we have a bow tie marking, and that's used to enable you to enable us to say navigate or point out the seifa and the resha when necessary. So now the brackets. The katoni seifa. Now we're expecting to see in the seifa, there you see the case of mischarging, of undercharging. Hoisuk subasa arba mea zuz. Her ksuba was 400 zuz. Mochra loze b'mona v'loze b'mona. V'loze yofe mona v'dinar b'mona. She sold parcels of land, the first three, one mona parcel of land in exchange for a mona of money. And the last sale, after she already got 300 mona, or after she got 300 zuz or $300 that was due, she's going for her 400. And what does she do? She sells a mona v'dino worth of property for a mona. That's she got only a mona for a piece of property that's actually worth more. Shel achron michra botel v'shel kulan michron kayam. The last sale is off, but the other sales stick. So what's the point the Gemara had made? That the Seifa is a case of Oizel. The Reisha then was a case of Lo Oizel. And the Reisha, she sold a mona of a dinar of property when she had a ksuba of only worth one mona, and she got the fair price for it. But and yet the deal was called off. So we see, as we tried to show before, that a shlich that does more than he was charged with, the whole deal is off. He's called Mavir al Dvarav. So what happens then is that we are thereby reinstating the conclusion that the Toshma tried to achieve. The Gemara says, "Lo, the Seifa and the Reisha are both talking about a case of mischarging. In other words, a mistake in the price. Not just the function of doing more than he was supposed to do." The Gemara says, "Lo, Reisha v'seifa b'de'ozil, v'seifa ha'komash malon." If you might ask, well, what do I need two cases of b'de'ozil? The Seifa tells me the following. Haima de oizil bediasmi. The mischarging there, the undercharging, was in the last 400. In other words, she went over the 400 when she sold a piece of property, that last 100, which she sold a piece of property worth 100 and a dinar. That went over bounds. That already encroached into money or estate owned by the Yesomim themselves, no longer not due to pay her to begin with, that extra amount. So in that case, in those sales, where the overcharge was went over the 400 mark, when her original ksuba was for 400, that's when the deal is off. Avol b'dido michor kayem. And over an undercharging or a mischarging, but before you get to the 400, that deal would stick. And we have an illustration of this on the side. We have a double-starred note where we feature the number 400. And there are two cases. Aleph, oizel b'diasmi, and then if you skip down a little bit, you see the bays, that's oizel b'dida. What is the case of oizel b'diasmi? So I said, we already explained this, but our note reads, shov emona b'mona, you see that a piece of property worth one mona, which is 100, she got a mona, and that happened for the first three times. So she's up to 300 of the 400. And then at the last sale was shov emona v'dinar b'mona. We dashed underline v'dinar. She went over the maximum. That's called b'diyasmi. That's encroaching on property that belongs exclusively to the assignment. It's not bound to her. Then there's the case of oizel b'dida. What's the case? So notice how the sales appear. The first sale was the undercharging shava mona v'dinar b'mona. She took a piece of land of the assignment that's worth a mona v'dinar, and she got only a mona for it. But at that point, you realize she still hasn't received her full ksuba payment. That's what we mean by b'dida. The mischarging is still within the bounds of her ksuba money that she hasn't fully received yet. So, in simple English, we say that's her problem, but it's not enough. There's no reason there to call off the deal. So far, I need the two cases of oizel, and that's why we say the deal is off. And if that be the case, then we don't have proof that in the case of a shliach doing more than he's supposed to do, that we would call off the deal. We are calling off deals only when there is a mischarging that took place. The Gemara asks, "Ha midereisha shamis mina?" But that point we learned already from the reisha. It says, "Hoisuk suboso mosayim." Her ksuba was worth 200. And there were two cases. She sold a piece of property worth 100 and got 200 for it. Or she sold a piece of property 200 and got only 100 for it. This kabla ksubasa, the ksuba is considered paid. And we don't say that the mecher is botel. So what do we see? We see that this idea of when the hoizola is bidido, the deal stands, that we see already from the resha of the Mishnah. What do I need the seifa for if that's the whole point? The Gemara answers, I still need the seifa for this point. Mahu detema hosam hu distaliklo mehai beisa legamri. The case of the resha, we say there that the deal stands. It's because that in that sale where she undercharged, where she sold a piece of property worth 200 for only 100, we say that the deal stands. But it stands because it's at that point that sale resulted in her getting her full ksuba payment, and she's out of the house. She's out of the picture. Aval hocha, but in the seifa case, where the first sale, let's say she undercharged in the first sale of the four sales, she's still in the house because she hasn't received her full $400 in the Seifa case. Nigzar, I would have thought, make a gzeira, mona rishon ata mona acharon. Let us say that even in the mona rishon, if she undercharged, we should say the deal is off in anticipation of the undercharging with regard to the mona acharon. Komash malon, so that's what I need the seifa to convey, that we don't make that gzeira. Namely, only if the undercharging is at the point that she goes above the 400, then we call off the deal. But if it's within the four, if it's within the 400, as we illustrated before, we don't call off the deal. The Igo di Amri, another approach to this whole sugya, haloti bayaloch, hecha de omar le zil zoven li lischa vezoven le kura de vadei moisif al dvorav havei. In a case where the shliach is charged with doing less and he ends up doing more, he was told to sell a half a kor, he ends up selling an entire kor, there it's clear that he's called Moisif al Dvarav. So then what is there room to question, to ask about? Kiti boyaloch, the omar le zil zoven li kura, vi ozil vizoven le lischa mai. So, in Mirza Shem, in our next shiur, we'll pick up with this as a new question. In effect, it's a continuation of the sugya, but it's a new direction that the Gemara is taking, where we can deal with it on its own. Namely, an agent was given instructions to do a certain amount, and he does less than he was supposed to do. What happens then? Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.